If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Yes, that is still in the Bible. We're going to read from it every now and again. Deuteronomy chapter number 15, and if you're, Shannon does a wonderful job getting our scriptures up on the screens, and I really appreciate her for that, but if you like to follow along in your Bibles, if you also want to go ahead and put a mark in Exodus chapter number 5, we'll also be going there in just a few moments, also a couple more places, but that'll get us a good start into the message this morning. I do ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the message, that I'll be able to preach what God's laid upon my heart. The thought that God's given me, sometimes it seems like I get stuff that's a little different, and that just proves to me over and over and over that it is God's Spirit that does the work anytime that I preach. And I'm glad I'm not dependent on my ability, but on God's ability to take His Word and speak to our hearts. But if you will, bow your head and pray with me and pray for me as we get ready to get into God's Word, that God will just use this Scripture today in a special way. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, we thank You for this opportunity that we have to be here. God, I want to thank You for Your Spirit that we've already felt by being in Your house. You said where two or three were gathered in Your name, that You would also be in the midst, God. And God, I know we all have a lot of stuff going on after a while. We got a lot of stuff going on this week. This time of year is so busy. But God, help us to realize that none of that time may ever come. And help us to use this time that we have to focus on the Word that You're fixing to give us. God, I pray that You'll help us, God, to open our spiritual hearts, open our spiritual ears and our minds, God, and let You speak to us through Your Word. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know You as their personal Savior. For us as Christians, may we reflect on what You've done on in our lives, God. May we be thankful, God. May we worship You because You're truly worthy of all of our honor and our glory and our praise. God, I want to thank You for my church family. God, I pray that You'll bless them, bless their effort for being here this morning. Speak to their hearts, provide every need. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 15, we're going to read part of one verse. The Bible says, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt." I'm going to stop reading right there for just a moment. No, that's not all the reading we're going to do this morning. We're going to do quite a bit of reading, matter of fact. But I want us to look for just a minute, you know, as we get into this time of year and as we get into the Christmas season, I'm always searching out and trying to seek, hey, God, do You want me to preach about Christmas? God, I really want to preach about Christmas, and I want to preach about baby Jesus and how He loved us so much that He came into this world as a little babe in a manger. Man, I really want to preach about Christmas. And then I'm reminded every single year that any message that you preach about Jesus Christ is about Christmas. That's where it all started out here in a manger, or actually it started before the foundations of the world, but we won't go back that far. We'll stop at Christmas. But I'm so thankful that we can preach about Jesus in any way that you want to, and it is about His love for us that He came here in a manger. But this morning as we get into the scriptures and as we look here, the Bible says in Deuteronomy that He's telling them, He says, I want you to remember something. And what happened here in Deuteronomy is it was a part of the feast of keeping the Sabbath, and they were talking about on the seventh year how you would forgive your servants and how you would turn your servants loose on the seventh year. And we won't get into all of that because it doesn't really pertain to what we're doing here this morning. But as we look at this, in verse number 15, and he says, I want you to remember when you were a bondman. Now, as I begin to think about Christmas, and one of my favorite things that to watch and to read and to look at, my wife gets kind of, why do I always talk about my wife? Man, I just keep digging these holes, and I don't mean to. There are people in my life who talk about me around Christmas because sometimes I can become a Scrooge. Sometimes I can become a bah humbug because I want to tell you something. I don't like the commercialization of Christmas. I don't like what it has become in our lives and that it's all about presents. And yes, and we buy our kids presents and we do all the fun things and everything. But I want to tell you something, that Christmas ought to be focused on Jesus Christ. That's what it should be focused on. So sometimes I become a little bit of a Scrooge. First of all, I'm a tightwad, so we'll just go ahead and throw that out there. And then second of all, it is just the commercialization of it. And so one of the things that I really like at Christmas, and I usually end up either reading it in some fashion or watching it on TV of some way, is the story of Christmas Carol. Everybody know what a Christmas Carol is, right? Written by Charles Dickens. So Christmas Carol were a man that was a Scrooge, old bah humbug, and couldn't see what Christmas was about and kind of had his eyes all in the wrong direction, that he was visited by three ghosts. One of those ghosts being the ghost of Christmas past, one being the ghost of Christmas present, and one being the ghost of Christmas future or to come. And this morning, I want us to take just a few minutes. I want us to look, as we look at Deuteronomy chapter number 15 and the verse number 15, and we see that the Bible says, look, listen, and thou shalt remember. Now, look, I want to go one step further, and we know that the Bible says in Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 16, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We know that we can't continually just look back in our lives. And sometimes I want to tell you something. If you get to looking back for too long, the devil will play tricks on you. The devil will try to remind you of how fun that sin was. The devil will try to remind you how easy life was. But what he doesn't remind you of is the way that he took you places you never wanted to go, kept you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. The devil won't remind you of those things, and that's the reason that God says, look, you can't continue to go forward and work and be what I want you to be if you're looking back. And that's what Luke chapter number 9 is trying to say there in verse number 62. But I think it is important in our Christian lives for time to time that we remember what it was like. That we remember for just a few minutes. I'm not going to be the ghost of Christmas past this morning, but I want us to look in the past. I want us to look at how things was. And here in Deuteronomy chapter number 15, verse number 15, he says, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. So now let's go to Exodus chapter number 5. We're going to read all of Exodus chapter number 5. And I want you to see what he was telling them to remember. I want you to see what he was telling the children of Israel. I want you to remember what it was like. So in Exodus chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey in the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get ye unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. So Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh and said, you need to let us have a break because we need to go and sacrifice unto God. Pharaoh says, absolutely not. And they say, yeah, we're going to do it anyway. So now Pharaoh is just absolutely, he is so angry with them. So in verse number 6, and Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore let them go and gather straw for themselves. He says, I want to tell you something. He said, if you're going to have so much time and you want to go sacrifice to your God and you have this idle time, here's what we're going to do. We're no longer going to provide you straw to make brick with. You're still going to have to make the same amount of brick, but we're not going to provide you the straw no more. You've got extra time. You go get your own straw. Verse number 8, and the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them, and you shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice unto our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Over in Deuteronomy, he said, I want you to remember. And then he begins to remind them of what it was like. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and the officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye and get your own straw. Excuse me, I'm putting words in there. Go ye, get your straw where you can find it. Yet not all of your work shall be diminished. He says, you're going to go get your own straw, and you're going to provide more work than what you ever have. Verse number 12, so the people were scattered about throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task, and when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? So now they're out, and instead of getting straw, they're getting stubble. They're not even getting the good stuff that they were getting. And they're still being required to provide as much brick as they ever were. And now when they go and they report that they have not made as much brick, now they're being beaten. Now they're being held accountable for things. And it was all because Moses and Aaron went and asked for 3 days' journey to go and sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse number 15. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with the servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. But he said, Ye are idle. Ye are idle. Therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you. Yet ye shall deliver the tale of bricks. Now, as we're seeing this, and as I'm trying to once again try to play into this, I'm going to remind you of the past. You know, as this is going on down in Egypt, as as Moses and Aaron have gone and they've asked for this, and now the people are being held accountable for work that there's no way that they can possibly do, I wonder if now if they get a glimpse of, as they were leaving Egypt, I wonder if they now get a glimpse of, now they're headed out to the Red Sea, and they look behind them and they see Pharaoh coming in behind them, and all of a sudden they begin to panic and they say, we wish that we were back in Egypt. You just brought us out here to be killed, and we wish we were back in Egypt. They're wishing to go back to something like this. I wonder how much of the past is being brought back to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter number 15. Verse number 19, and the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, You shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way, and they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. In other words, he said, We're not favorable in Pharaoh's eyes anymore because you went and asked this, and now we're being required to do work that there's no way we can do, and we're being beaten because of it. And in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to his people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. So Moses goes back to God and he says, God, why in the world did you have me go to Pharaoh? Why in the world did you have me go and to ask Pharaoh if we could go out and to sacrifice unto you? Because it has done nothing but evil in our lives. It has done nothing but brought bad in our lives. Now we're being beaten because we can't produce. There's no possible way we can produce what they say we should be able to produce. We are now enslaved. We are now having new burdens put on us. I want to tell you something, that this world will try to put new burdens on you all the time, and that you may go and you may ask God, God, why is this burden being put on me? God, why am I going through this? And God may not give you an answer right at that very minute, but if you are a child of God this morning and you have believed Him, in Him as your Savior, I can assure you on the authority of God's Word that there is no burden that you'll face that God won't help you carry. Here the children of Israel are. Man, they're upset with God. They're upset with Moses and Aaron, and now Moses is questioning God. Why in the world have you done this? And then you go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 15, and he says, I think it's important, guys, that you remember what it was like over in Egypt. I think it's important this morning that we remember what it was like when we were bondmen. When we were enslaved to sin, when there was a time in our life when we seemed like we had a good intentions in our life. Do you remember being lost? Or maybe even as a young Christian, when you wanted to live for God, when you wanted to do things for God, or maybe there was a sin in your life as a lost person that you wanted to get away from. There was a place of no peace in your life that you wanted to get away from, and you would do everything that you could in your power to get away from it. There may have been a sin in your life that was overtaking you, and you wanted to get away from it. And you would do everything in your power to get away from it, and you could not seem to find relief from that. As a young Christian, maybe there was something that slipped into your life and you knew that it was not pleasing to God. Hey, sometimes I even joke with people and I say, you know what, it's not fair. I got saved at the age of 7, and everything that I've done since the age of 7, I'm going to give an account for one day. And these people who live all the way they want to until the day they get saved, it's all been just forgiven, and nobody's going to remember it again. Well, you know what, there's some things in my teenage years that took control in my life. Now, and I believe at the judgment seat of Christ that I will give an account for the deeds I've done in my body, whether they've been good or bad. That's biblical this morning. I believe I will stand before God and give an account for those things as a Christian that I did. And I want to say to you this morning that when we stand before God and we give an account for those things, there's things in my life, especially as a teenager, that came into my life that I knew that God was not pleased with, that I knew that I shouldn't been doing. And Sunday after Sunday, I would come to an altar and say, God, please forgive me for what I've done. God, help me for what I've done. And you know what? I didn't mean it. I did. I wanted forgiveness because I wanted the guilt to go away. I wanted the bad feeling to go away, but I still wanted to please the flesh. So I got up from the altar and I went right back to doing what I was doing. Have you ever been there? Yeah. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to admit you're human. It's okay to say, yeah, preacher, I've been there. I've been to the place where I was trying my best to give something to God. Well, you know what? That's the problem, is we're always trying our best and just instead of saying, God, here it is. I need you to take this. I need to give you complete control and surrender my life unto you. And you know what? When I finally got to that place with the things that was in my life and said, God, I'm surrendering it unto you, it wasn't long until I had victory over those things in my life. So here, they're being reminded of what it was back in Egypt. They're being reminded of how bad it was. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy, chapter number 15. Let's read the end of the verse. The Bible says, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today." I want you to know that I'm glad that as I look back in my life and I see the things in my life that wasn't pleasing to God, and maybe, I don't know your life before you were saved this morning, but some of you have told me that you were rascals. Some of you have told me that you were evil people. Some of you have told me that you got into things that you just really, really wish that had never come into your life. And as you look at those things and you were trying to get away from those things, that you couldn't do it on your own power, but do you remember the day that Jesus Christ redeemed you? Do you remember the day that he came into your heart, into your life, and he forgave you of those things that was in your life? That is the day that he is also reminding them of right here. He said, I want you to remember how bad it was over there in Egypt, but then I want you to remember how sweet it was. The day that Jesus Christ redeemed you, the day that God led you out of Egypt through Moses. I want you to remember how he came for us, so that he came and he gave his life on a cross. You need to remember sometimes, instead of remembering the fun things. You know what? Sometimes at work, some of us, we get around and we get to talking, and some of the guys that have been saved and they get to talking about some of their old days, and there's some things that happen that is absolutely hilarious. And you're like, how in the world did you live through that? It's funny. And you look at it, and sometimes you see the good things and you remember the fun things, but do you remember waking up sometimes and going, what did I do last night? What in the world did I do? Who in the world did I mistreat? What in the world am I accountable for this morning? Or do you remember waking up and saying, I cannot believe that I acted in that way? Or you wake up and you say, you know, I said I was never going to do that again, but then I found myself doing that again. See, I think sometimes it's important that we remember those things and then remember the day that Jesus Christ set you free from that. Look, he says here in Deuteronomy chapter number 15, he says, and then you were redeemed. I got to go back to Exodus chapter number 6 real quick, because I want you to see what happens. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and unto them, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. He's reminding them of the relationship that he had with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He says, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Or if you look that up, El Shaddai is how he was known to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. That's what they called God Almighty. He was a supreme being. He was God. But I want you to look what he says here. But now, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage where they were strangers. He said, I want you to know by Abraham, by Isaac, by Jacob, I was known as El Shaddai, or God Almighty. I was the supreme being that was in control of everything. But I want you to know something. I'm fixing to reveal myself as Jehovah. I'm fixing to have that personal relationship with you and the children of Israel. I'm fixing to move in and do works that is personally beneficial to you and to the children of Israel. I'm getting ready to turn Pharaoh's heart. I'm getting ready to move him with a strong hand. I'm going to move into your life and I'm going to make myself known. Do you remember when Jesus Christ made himself known in your life? There may have been a time that you realized that he was a supreme being, that he was God Almighty, that he existed somewhere up there in the clouds or just above the clouds, and yeah, that he spoke the world into existence. And maybe you even believe that he created us as men and that he was actually in control of everything. But do you remember the day that he became personal to you? I remember the
the day at the age of 7 that Jesus Christ became personal to me. I remember hearing about him in Sunday school class. I remember my dad preaching about him up until the age of 7. I remember singing songs about him. I remember that good feeling that I had when we talked about God. But I want to tell you something. That night when I got on my knees and he became a personal Savior to me and he forgave my sins and he moved into my life and became Lord of my life, that's the day that I remember Jesus Christ coming in and being my Lord and Savior. Look, he says, you've known me as El Shaddai, as God Almighty, but now I want to be personal. I want to be Jehovah in your life. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures to you. Church, I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to put down this morning. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down. I'm having a good time preaching this, but it's not you, and it's not God. If this ain't coming out the way that God's given it to me, it's my fault. But in Ephesians chapter number 2, I want you to think about this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Listen about this. Look, if you're here and you're saved by the grace of God, this absolutely speaking of you. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're in, listen, in time past. The ghost of Christmas past. Let me remind you of your past just a minute. We're in time past. You walked according to the course of this world. Man, you done what felt good to you. According to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That we just followed what felt good. If it felt good, do it. I mean, we didn't have anybody to be accountable for. God wasn't living in our lives yet. But I want you to look at verse number 4. And that life, it looks like it's a life of pleasure on the outside. But you can also remember what you felt like on the inside. You were empty and without hope. And verse number 4, listen to this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I don't know if you can remember your life before you were saved or not. Again, going to my life as a 7-year-old, being without hope, knowing that my eternity was in hell until I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I want to tell you something, that I wasn't worthy of that. There's no way in the world that God should have saved me. There's no way in the world, as I look back past my life from the age of 7 and I began to revisit some years in my life where I didn't walk with God, where I didn't trust God, where I didn't witness for God, where I didn't live for God. God should have never saved me. He should have pushed me to the side and went after somebody else that would have been more beneficial. But I'm glad, as it says right here in verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I'm so glad that he loved me just the way that I was, and he accepted me as one of his children. I'm glad, as I look at my past may not be beautiful, it may not be perfect, it may not be sinless, but I got a past that I can look and I can tell you today that I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Can't even find it in my Bible this morning. Know, ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know what, we read that and we go, yeah, I understand why God don't want fornicators in heaven, why he don't want adulterers in heaven, why he don't want thieves. I understand that. But you know, the very first thing that it mentioned right there was unrighteous. I don't know about you, but I can't classify myself as righteous. The only thing that makes me righteous is the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Hey, we looked in the past. Now let's see what happened in the past. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. Some of y'all fit that category. You know what? All of us fit one of those categories in one way or another. And such were some of you. But I like that three-letter word right there. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm glad that even though if I fit one of those categories in my past, if I fit in one of those situations in my past, I'm glad that there was a night that there was a but in my life. That sounded terrible, but that's okay. I'm glad that there was a but in my life and I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm glad that He spoke to my life that night. I'm glad that He spoke to my heart and that He drew me and He asked me to come and be one of His children. And I got down on my knees, not knowing how to pray, not knowing what to say, except for, God, I know that I've done things wrong. Forgive me for the sins in my life. And right then and there, I was washed. I was justified. I was sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can look back in my past all you want to, but be sure you don't miss the day that I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And such were some of you. Man, I'm going to tell you, the devil will come sometimes and he'll show you a past that was beautiful. He'll show you a past that was fun. He will show you a past that was fulfilling to your flesh. And we're fighting that battle every day with our flesh. But I want you to take him when he begins to remind you of all that, when he begins to remind you of your past, I want you to take him to that day in your past when Jesus Christ changed your life, when he changed your eternity, when he changed who you are. You say, well, preacher, I can't say that I've ever had that day. You're in the most amazing place in the world right now. You're in a place right now that the Spirit of God is moving, that the Spirit of God is, hey, in that little book or in that little play, there was three spirits, right? Spirit or ghost or whatever you want to call them. Hey, I believe in one ghost, and that's the Holy Ghost. And I believe he's present this morning, speaking to our hearts and to our lives. If you're here this morning and you know what, maybe you struggle with your past. I know some guys in my life that absolutely struggle with their past, of things that they did, people they affected. And there's some heavy consequences sometimes that we carry with our past here on this earth. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me go ahead and assure you that your past will never be brought up by him again. He said, I've cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. As I stand before God this morning, he sees the blood of his son on my life. Man, I'm so thankful that I don't have to give an account for that past. But when the devil wants to remind you of your past, take him to the day, the time, the place. And you say, well, preacher, you tell us you can't remember the day and the time and the place. Well, I can remember the place. I can't remember the day and the time. But I can tell you exactly where I was when Jesus Christ came into my heart and into my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. I know it's been a little different this morning. I know sometimes we don't realize what contributions others make, and by our piano player not being able to be here this morning. Even right now, it's a little different because it's silent in the background. But I want you to listen. Instead of listen for music, I want you to listen for God's voice. Listen for that still, small voice in your life. If you're here this morning and you want to say, preacher, as I look back through my past, yeah, maybe there's some stuff that happened that I'm not real proud of. There's some stuff that happened that I wish that I could forget. The devil wants to bring them up to me sometimes. But preacher, I can remember the day that I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know without a doubt that I know him. I know there's no way in the world you could ever talk me out of it. I know that I'm saved. If you just give me a little wave this morning, just raise your hand. Amen. Hands all over the church. Thank God for that. But maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know, I feel him speaking to me from time to time. I feel him drawing me. I know that I need to be saved. I don't know why I can't. I don't know why I can't just come up to that altar and get saved, because I really want to. But preacher, I've never been saved. Would you just raise your hand and let me pray for you? Preacher, I don't know that I'll come today. I don't know that I'll be able to get up and come down there today, but I want you to pray for me because I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die in the shape that I'm in. Preacher, pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you as I look back in my past. Yeah, there's so many things that I'm not proud of. But God, I'm glad even sometimes as I remember those, that I also remember the night that I accepted you as my personal Savior. God, I'm so unworthy of that. But God, I want to thank you. I want to praise you and give you glory in my life for being a God that loved me through all of my mistakes, being a God that loved me in spite of who I really am, and God, that you was willing to give your Son, Jesus Christ, for me. I want to thank you and I want to praise you. God, I pray, dear Father, as we conclude with this invitation today, God, I pray that you'll help us as Christians to realize what a gift we were given. God, I pray most of all, if there is one here that's lost, that just couldn't even raise their hand, but God, they know that they've never accepted you as their personal Savior. God, I pray that you won't let them leave here without you. God, speak to their heart. God, I pray that they'll make a move for you. In Jesus' name, amen.